everyone. This is the D-Rays Bay Playoff Podcast Series, ALCS, Game 7, instant reaction. The Rays are American League champions. They're headed to the World Series. We've got a full house. So, Danny, just introduce everybody.
All right.
Go for it.
Brett Rutherford, thank you so much for introducing us. We have on the pod today Ian Malinowski, Darby Robinson, Jim Turvey, Brian Menendez, Matt Rayburn, Jared Ward, Brad Nouveau, JT Morgan, Jamal Wilberg. It is a great day to be a Tampa Bay Rays fan. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
Guys, 4-2 victory. Got a little interesting. Like I said earlier, it wouldn't be a Rays-Astros ALCS game if the tying run wasn't at the plate in the ninth inning. Pete Fairbanks closes it out. And Charlie Morton, we got to talk about Charlie effing Morton. Who else would you want on the mound in this situation? He's the guy, he's got the highest salary in Rays franchise history. Tonight he showed why that is. Pitching in one of the biggest games in franchise history. One of his best outings in a Rays uniform, if you ask me. But Darby, Charlie Morton, what do you think?
I mean, this is why you sign Charlie Morton. This is why you save Charlie Morton for Game 7. He is maybe one of the best big game pitchers in modern baseball. And that's not even a hyperbole. I mean, he is right up there. You know, we talk about Madison Bumgarner as like one of those absolute all-time playoff performers. We talk about Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson. Like, Charlie Morton is right up there. Game sevens. Yeah. He's never lost a clinching game. Like four this is like he is 4-0 in these elimination do or die games. That's the highest pressure. And today, if you looked at him, if you watched his performance, one, he was amazing. Two, he just looks like he's going like shopping for groceries. He's just like
broke his own record.
Absolute calmest guy. Like, it's amazing. Like, he is
Charlie Morton,
incredible,
dealing 97 miles an hour. It only takes him 11 pitches to get through the first inning, including a strikeout of Correa, 23 pitches through the second inning, 30 pitches to get through three. His cutter was on when he was dealing against left-handed hitters. He had fantastic movement on his sinker. By the fourth inning, he was only at 43 pitches, including another strikeout of Correa, which included a three-pitch sequence of sinker, split change, four-seam fastball, that you cannot touch, breaking out the four-seam out of nowhere as an FU. Through the fifth inning, he was at 49 pitches, and he gets lifted after 66 because of a walk, and Altuve getting a stupid two-out infield hit, turning the ball over to Anderson, rightfully so. But Charlie freaking Morton was on.
On the game, he pitched 5 2/3 innings, 2 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. And most of that, he did not raise a sweat. This was shoving to the max. And that was what was needed, right? We talked about they needed Charlie Morton to come out and give us a good, clean top of the first inning, right? The Rays had all the pressure, right? There's all this like, oh, the collapse, the 3-0 to now to game 7 and blah, 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 all the emotions. Blah. Charlie Morton came out and was like, I don't care. And just like mowed him down. And then bottom of the inning, the Rays get on the board, and suddenly it was off to the races.
I've got
to
talk about
like,
Kevin
It's almost
Cash.
Like Charlie Morton didn't even know that the Rays had lost the last three games. He just came out there as if it was just any other day. He was completely as advertised, and I know he has like that flex option next year, but the Rays should just give him the full $15 million after tonight. They should just do it.
Just right now. Just
give him the whole thing right now. And I would say, like, Charlie Morton, he's doing all of this as what? He's 36 years old. He's doing this as a 36-year-old. I think that Charlie Morton not only has been fantastic today and last year and even the last 2 years before that, but I think he could also be, like, one of the great, like, what could have been stories. I know the first part of his career, like, he dealt with a lot of injuries. He went through a lot of teams that were trying to make him be the type of pitcher that he wasn't. What could his career arc have been had he been this type of pitcher? We're getting outside the scope of this game, but it's just an interesting thought exercise.
But it's a fair point. Well, Brian, we should note that Charlie Morton picked his place. He said, I want to go to the Tampa Bay Rays, and he worked out a contract that worked for them. When the pandemic hit, he renegotiated his option year to fit the awkward year of 2020. Charlie Morton wanted to pitch for the Tampa Bay Rays. He was signed for this moment, as Darby was just saying. Heck, last year, we knew what he was signed for when he pitched in the wild card series. And then this year, game seven was his, and he locked that sucker down.
We got to talk about Kevin Cash real quick. No, go ahead, Jamal.
Yeah, and I think it ties into Cash a bit. But to me, the weird thing is everyone kept talking about the pressure for the Rays for blowing a 3-0 lead, but the weird thing to me after game six, the pressure shifted to the Astros. You're the team that's been there before. You're the team that now has just won three games straight to lose one. And when you just look at the game plan that Cash put together, just straight Cash, homie, just came through and had everything lined up. And whether you first guess it, second guess it, third guess it, just Kevin Cash and the Rays pulled it off. And they looked calm the whole game. And the Astros looked pressed from the beginning.
Well, yeah. We were debating it as it was happening, but I do think that pulling Charlie right there, as good as he looked, is even more credit. He had a plan, like you said, he stuck with it, and perfection again from Cash.
Yeah, I mean that's the decision. Kevin Cash pulling Charlie Morton in the sixth inning when he was cruising. I mean, I think that's the right word. Got into a little trouble in the sixth, but the pitch count was still extremely low for that part of the ball game. Brings in Nick Anderson, who was the Rays' best pitcher this season. Goes back, it reminds me a lot of the decision to pull Charlie Morton in the fifth inning last season against the Boston Red Sox. It might have been two seasons ago, honest. No, it was last season because that was Charlie Morton's first year. And they bring in Adam Kolarik, who gives up a three-run home run to Andrew Benintendi. And the storyline was Kevin Cash has lost the Rays locker room, which, I mean, if you follow the team more closely than whoever was writing those headlines, you know that just wasn't true. And Kevin Cash, he's been on the job now for five full seasons. He's probably going to win manager of the year this season. And I just saw him on my TV, you know, accepting the American League Championship trophy. And he did it by sticking to the way that the Rays got here. And Darby talks about it all the time. Process over results. Pulling Charlie Morton had to be one of the hardest decisions that Kevin Cash, if not the hardest decision that Kevin Cash has ever made in his managerial career. And we are so lucky, and people, part of the Rays organization, and people that cheer for this team and cover this team are so lucky that they have Kevin Cash there to make that decision in that moment. Ian?
Yeah, and what I really love about this is that the Rays go to the World Series in a way that forces everyone who hasn't been following the Rays to understand what the Rays are. You have to look at this decision, and you have to think about it because it's weird. And what Kevin Cash is working under is there is really good, really buttoned up research out there that shows managers are not good at knowing when to pull a pitcher. They look at the pitcher going, and they think they see when he's dealing. They think they see when he's struggling, and the results don't back up the fact that they know what they're doing. So Kevin Cash knows that research. The Rays know the research. Kevin Cash listens, and he hears you, Kevin Cash, don't know when to pull a pitcher when you're looking at him. So you. He manages by what the plan was beforehand, what he knew the best matchups were beforehand. You make as many decisions as you can ahead of time, and then you stick by those decisions. And that's what the Rays are, and everyone watching around the country has to see that right now.
Definitely, definitely. What a move. And then to get, you know, those outs from Anderson, turn over to Pete Fairbanks, incredible stuff. And we could go on all night about the pitching, but it wouldn't be an instant reaction podcast if we weren't talking about a Randy Arozarena home run. And we talk about tone setting a lot on this show too. In the first inning, after losing three straight games, for Randy Arozarena to hit that home run.
Wait, you need to use his title. You need to use his proper title, Brett.
The Cuban Mookie Betts?
No.
Oh,
American
ALCS.
League Championship Series MVP, Randy Arozarena.
Yes,
which he is, rightfully so. But coming up and hitting that home run, absolutely massive.
I thought you were going to say his real title is Rakes All Night
Day Year. I mean, what a guy, and the true MVP, and he broke Evan Longoria's rookie postseason home run record. He's one home run away from tying the all-time single season postseason home run record. Like I said, he could end up having one of the best postseason offensive performances of all time. He already has. He could end up having be at the top of that list. by the time the World Series is over. Anybody got thoughts on Randy Rosarena?
He's just too good. He's too good for words.
and it's how can you talk about something that we've talked about already? Like, he was an absolute beast. You know, and just like I said, set that tone from the beginning with the 2-run home run. Finally, we got a home run with somebody on base instead of relying on the solo home runs. But what can we say that hasn't already been said? 100,000% deserving of the ALCS MVP. We love you, Randy.
One of our colleagues, Ashley McLennan, she tweeted out probably one of the best tweets of the night. She simply said, "Do we deserve Randy or Rosarena? I mean, guys, do we?"
No,
I don't think so. He makes me miss fans being in attendance, because when he's just so electrifying, and I'm going to use some broken English here, but when a Rose Arena's there, the arena would have a rose. And that's just exactly how it would be when he hits the ball, the power, the energy, everything there, fans out their seats. It's going to be amazing to see him back in the Trop, you know, next season, and to see him with people, or even in Texas, when there are going to be people in the seats.
Yeah, I mean, incredible. And you look, going back to the offseason, everyone was saying the Rays need to find a right-handed power bat. Who's he going to be? And Hunter Renfro seemed to be like the obvious, you know, person to slot in there. And Hunter Renfro has provided some huge at-bats for the Rays. But Jim and I have talked about it literally back on like the first episode of Raise Your Voice. Randy Rosarena is a guy that would have been an opening day starter for a lot of big league teams. Didn't even break camp with the Rays. And I know he was dealing with COVID stuff, a COVID positive test. But the fact that he comes in so late in the season, hits as well as he does, carries that into October. And I know he's got some experience, but he's still a rookie. That is, I mean, it's magical. It's just, you can't write a script better than that. And yeah, it's been incredible. Let's talk about Mike Zunino. Great defense. Comes up with another mammoth home run tonight. I know Rosarena was the shoe-in MVP, but if there's anyone that's a close second, for me, for my money, it's Mike Zunino with the performances he put in behind the plate, minus maybe one game, and some of the big-time home runs that he put up and the timely hits. Mike Zunino was absolutely incredible this series.
Randy's home run felt great. Just thinking back to it again, because, you know, he throws the helmet off as he's rounding first base. So a helmet flip, perhaps. It's 107 miles an hour off the bat. It's 416 feet. Zunino hit a video game home run. He hit that sucker and he did the slow walk and the bat toss, right? It wasn't just like a normal bat flip as you're running. He walked to first base. 108.2 miles per hour off the bat. 430 feet. I mean, it's before the marine layer sets in, right? We're glad that the Rays got their home runs out of the way before that.
That light hitting catcher right there.
Oh my gosh. Zunino knew exactly what he had done.
Well, and like you mentioned the marine layer, the second, like later in the game when Zunino added on the sacrifice fly, which turned out to be a huge, huge run in the game, giving that the Rays that extra bit of breathing room. He hit a mammoth shot. He hit it hard. It was just a little too high, and it
completely
it just got sucked down by the really warm marine layer air that just kind of gets it nice and dense and like knocks it down, which is very helpful in a game when you're facing the Astros as well. You want to start limiting those runs, but yeah, Z played an amazing series. If you've been watching the Braves, right? You've seen one of the Rays catchers from last year, Travis d'Arnaud, absolutely rake. He's been
sore
crushing
subject.
It. He's been crushing it, right? Okay. But every time Travis d'Arnaud comes up with a big hit for the Braves, then the Rays come on and Mike Zunino is coming up with a big play. Like, it has not been, it's been one of the weirdest things because, like, you know, during the regular season, Zunino has been injured a lot during his Rays time and it's been kind of unfortunate, but Mike Zunino has come through either with big hits or the amazing defense. Like, that is, you cannot discount this. The home runs are great. The offense is great, right? That's all big. And he came through big in the ninth, but the defense and the way he worked with these pitchers, it is incredible. And he deserves so much credit for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just being able to block all those balls behind the plate all the time, just that solid defense, even if you bat, you know, even if he doesn't bring anything with the bat, I think there's a lot of value there, but you know, running into a dinger here and there, I mean, that just makes it all better. But let's jump back to the Arozarena dinger in that first inning. Did anybody else feel like we were going to start this game down 1-0 just because of all of the Astros solo home runs in the first inning? I felt like throughout the series, it was just a given we were going to see an Altuve home run in the first inning. And then all of a sudden, we come out with our own, you know, we start the game 2-0. Are you serious? That felt so good. That, I mean, I felt like the game was over at that point. I felt like we were going to the World Series in the first inning.
Yeah, I'd be lying.
Changing. Sorry, talking about changing the narrative. I say that in quotations, by the way. I mean, tone from the beginning. What we always talk about, there's, you know, Cash made it look like this was his plan all along. Morton came out and did what only Morton could do. Obviously, Arozarena, we already talked about him. I have my altar still. Brought him 2 Cuban sandwiches today in my mind and prayed to the gods for Arozarena to continue his streak, and he did. But I have to bring Choi into the mix as well. We just haven't mentioned his name yet. Choi's always my boy, but I think he is such a good tone setter. I mean, every time he went up there, he got on base or did something amazing, but he did the same work that he always does on defense as well. Splits everywhere, catching the ball that shouldn't have been caught. And it's just exactly what you said. It was complete shift from what we've seen in the last 3 games.
Who was it that said that G-Man Choi was the best defender on the Rays? Oh, that was me. Sorry, Danny. Go ahead.
Okay, Brian, you toot that horn. I even a bigger compliment is the speeches are done being given on the field, and the players are now presented with the American League Championship Trophy, and Tyler Glasnow and Blake Snell come to the front. They together lift up the trophy. The rest of the players cheer, and they walk it into the crowd to give it to one player. Who is the player that Snell and Glasnow present the trophy to? G-Man Choi.
Let's go.
I love it. I love it.
I mean, I said it. I kind of jokingly said it earlier this season that G-Man Choi, both at the local level and maybe at the national level, is kind of the face of the franchise. And you kind of saw that with how far he went in the hit show's greatest player bracket. But I mean, it's really true. Like, when a lot of people, when they think of the Rays, they think of G-Man Choi. It's because of his enthusiasm, his charisma, and of how well he plays the game of baseball. But we're talking about defense, and I say it time and time again, Willie Adames continues to go unnoticed when he had an incredible play, one of the best plays of the series, diving to his left, making the stop. I have never seen a shortstop turn around and make a throw that quickly. Was it Altuve that he retired?
It was Bregman. It was a Bregman on a hit up the middle, and he did that spinning slide trick.
It just shows how easy it is when you have a shortstop like Willie Adames, when those plays go unnoticed. But it was such a huge play in that moment. You already had the lead, and just to make that play was incredible. Ian?
I just have to give one more shout out to Zunino. He, in addition to hitting the home run, in addition to blocking balls, he owned 1.5 inches off the outside of the plate today. There's a lot of pitches. Morton was living out there. Those are often called strikes. They don't have to be called strikes. They were today. That was Zunino doing his thing.
Yeah, he was awesome. Wow. The Rays are going to the World Series, guys. First time in 12
years. Oh, my goodness.
I was 9 years old.
Are you kidding me?
You know what's amazing about going to the World Series beyond everything, but the biggest
Wait, Brett, was your voice that low at 9.2? Or yes. I just assume you've always been a man made for radio.
Yeah.
Mother, I would like some milk.
Sorry, Darby, go right ahead.
We're talking about Randy Arozarena. We're talking about Willie Adames. We're talking about Glasnow and Snell. There's so many amazingly talented and really fun to watch play baseball players on this team. And now going into the World Series, right, you're going to get to actually hear more about their story, right? We're going to hear more about Randy. We're going to hear more about Willie. We're going to get to learn to everyone. We'll get to learn to love G-Man Choi. We're going to get to the heartbreaker of the nation, Tyler Glasnow. Like, this is a team that I'm glad going to the World Series, no matter what's going to happen. I want to see these guys get that spotlight. They deserve this spotlight because this is a really fun team with a lot of incredibly talented players that deserve to be, these are future stars. like legitimately future stars. You know, you have fun side characters and you know, amazing fun guys, but there are stars on this team and the world's going to know about it.
Darby,
not tonight, but in the World Series for
Darby,
sure.
Darby, are you saying that this team has a good aesthetic? Because that goes against the
error. If you're basing it on aesthetics, I would say good.
I don't even understand how you can say that with people like Tyler Glasnow and Kevin Kiermaier. I mean,
I know.
Are you not entertained?
Right. It doesn't check out.
God bless KK, right? Because he takes three consecutive changeups for his first strikeout. And everyone's sitting here saying he's not going to swing, right? And you know who's not saying that as well? We all saw it on the broadcast. Poor Lance McCullers, was yelling at Dusty Baker, Kevin Kiermaier's not going to swing. Why are you lifting me now? And then God bless you, KK. You swang and struck out in your next two plate appearances. And three. Each of those plate appearances, if you never lift the bat off your shoulder, you take a walk.
I think he takes that walk if McCullers wasn't out there calling him out for not being able to.
100%.
He wanted to show that he could. If McCullers if Dusty leaves McCullers in, KK leaves the bat on his shoulder.
Maybe the Rays get another run across. Who knows? But KK, I mean, I wasn't entirely sure he was going to be in this game after the injury he suffered earlier this series. The fact that he stepped up, and I know he is somewhat of a divisive character in this Rays story amongst the fan base. But if you're talking about someone that embodies the Rays way and that's been with this team longer than anyone else, it's Kevin Kiermaier. And the fact that he stepped up to play in this game, to play center field, I know he wasn't in the lineup for his bat, but to play center field in a game as big as this, so commendable, and it's been awesome having Kevin Kiermaier as a part of this run, and it's gonna be fun to watch him in the World Series, hopefully fully healthy.
Incomparable.
Yeah, definitely. And 100%, Ian. Wow. Something we could talk about every single man down the lineup.
The next person we need to talk about, because it's the big choice, right? It was the choice that we were debating in the Slack. It was the choice that was debated on the broadcast. It was the choice debated on Twitter. Charlie Morton pitched 5 2/3 innings, had plenty of pitches left, if you want to think about that. But up to the third time through the order, starting to get a little dangerous. Not really from his own mistakes. He did walk, but it was bad contact and. Suddenly now things are getting a little stressful. Kevin Cash makes the big decision. The decision that Kevin Cash would absolutely stand by no matter what happens, because he knows it's the right call, but it's a call that absolutely will get him, you know, a lot of heat. And it did get him a lot of heat, but he calls in Nick Anderson to take over and to pitch a lot. He came up three times. This was a big Nick Anderson performance, and he didn't have the best series to this point, but Nick Anderson made up for it today.
Absolutely. And I think the important part in this whole decision for Cash is you can only make that choice if you're going to Nick Anderson. Nick Anderson is your number one pitcher back there. Of all the horses in the stable, he is the guy. And you put it on him to win you this game.
Mm-hmm. And thinking about the hitter who was up, it was Bradley. Bradley, the only Astros hitter to get a hit off of Morton until Altuve got that infield single that pushed Morton from the game, right? And that in and of itself is a fluke. Altuve's only two hits getting on base today were infield hits where the defense had a weird moment. It's so random, in my opinion, about Morton even having to get pulled in this conversation even happening at all. But Bradley, clearly, I think the Rays assessed that he was the biggest threat in the lineup. I think he had shown that this series, that he was probably one of the three most formidable hitters. And I kind of expected a lefty-on-lefty matchup. I thought maybe they might go to Loop. Loop never stood up as far as I saw, right? It was Anderson all the way, and Josh, you're completely, or JT, whichever you prefer to be when you're a baseball writer. I love you, JT.
Yeah, I think both of those points are really good. I think the key had to be Anderson. Like you don't take Charlie Morton out. I agree with the decision for Cash to pull him. I think pitch count is an idea that's just widely misunderstood. I think times through the order is a lot more important than pitch count. So I think going third time through, I agree with Cash's decision. Like JT said, going straight to Anderson was the key. I think the reason why a lot of times those moves get second guesses is because when you take out Morton, you go to your sixth inning guy, you go to your seventh inning guy, and that's would have been the mistake. And if this game went awry, that's what we could have looked on. But I think the fact that they went straight to Nick Anderson, if things do go awry, it happens with your best pitcher on the mound in that situation, and that's Nick Anderson.
Yeah, and the other thing going into it is that Charlie Morton kills righties. He is solidly above average against lefties, but it's a very different level Morton against righties than it is Morton against lefties. Anderson is the only pitcher on this team who has been better, who you would expect to be better against righties than Charlie Morton. He's also, you would expect him to be the best against lefties. So this is the pitcher you want in every high pressure situation. And is the pitcher you wanted handling all those innings afterwards, which after the decision to pull Morton, Cash rolled Anderson through the lineup as long as he could.
So, I think Cash made it clear in the elimination game against the Yankees that he was going to bring in Anderson whenever he thought Anderson should be brought in, right? So this didn't surprise me at all. I mean, I think Anderson came in even earlier in game 5 against the Yankees, didn't he? It's like the third inning or something.
Yeah. Dear listener, dive bombing into the Zoom call, Mr. Lizzie.
Hey, yeah, no, I realize I can't sleep, so I might as well hang out with you guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you for hopping on. Yeah.
But I did want to, so I was really surprised just, looking at Twitter, how many people were just outraged about pulling Morton when he did. And maybe it's just because I've been watching Kevin Cash manage for so many years. I'm like, well, of course, so he has his plan and he figures that this is the best situation. But it seems like the rest of the baseball world felt like some horrible crime was committed against Charlie Morton and, and 500 years of baseball history. And I just was wondering, are we all just sort of used to that? Or like, why are we like just sort of like, sure, that was the right thing. And no one else seems to feel that way. And not just like old fogies, but people whose work I normally admire. Seemed really shocked by this.
Yeah, I think it's like what Darby said with I think it was Ian was saying that like this was the perfect night to introduce everyone to the Rays way, and the Rays way is not noticing the pitch count. It's the times to the order, and it was on full front and center, and all those writers who even I'm sure they pay attention to the Rays. They tweeted out that joke like great trade for the Rays, who'd they get or whatever. They respect the Rays, but they're really seeing exactly how they do it, and it amazes them still.
Guys, can I frame a new school baseball idea with like totally old school baseball rhetoric real quick? Talk a lot about defining moments for players. I think that Cash pulling Morton in this game and going straight to Anderson was a defining moment for him. I think him sticking to his guns, sticking to the script, sticking to the Rays way, and not caring about Charlie Morton's blinking pattern when he went to the mound was just, was completely 100% on brand Kevin Cash.
And this is also like compared to yesterday where Cash had the same decision to make with Snell, got some heat, still it didn't work out, but it was the right call at the time. And then compare that to Clayton Kershaw. I mean, a lot of the Clayton Kershaw is bad in October, which is I think a really dumb narrative. It's a lot of times because his managers are leaving him in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 batters too long, and the idea is there, and they're not putting him in the right position. And so Charlie is put in the right position, and that's because we have Kevin Cash.
The vast majority of the damage that's been done to Clayton Kershaw in the playoffs has been third time through the order. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah. Jamal?
I think even going beyond that in the game, part of that for Cash also is sticking with Pete Fairbanks, because like I don't know about anyone else, but I just haven't seen anyone that can make you so nervous the first inning that they're in and then just make you so proud the next inning they're in. There's something about him leaving the dugout versus leaving the bullpen that is just so different. I don't know if the carrots are different for the stable, but he just comes in and sets it up so nicely that second time he's in that he's almost lights out.
Yeah, Pete Fairbanks. I mean, going back to last July when the Rays acquired Pete Fairbanks, I know that there were, I know Danny Russell wouldn't expect Pete Fairbanks to be recording.
Yeah,
the last
Danny, what about that trade? Would you like to comment on the trade?
Bad process, good results, baby.
But I've been on the Pete Fairbanks train all season long. It's been a fun ride. Again, like Jamal said, a guy that can make you so nervous at one point and then turn around the next inning and shut it down. And he was incredible. Yeah, hats off to Pete Fairbanks. This pleases Pete Fairbanks.
I've been saying for a long time that Fairbanks has Fairbanks. Fairbanks has the most incredible hard slider in the league. I don't know if you were paying close attention to the guns there. He was hitting 91 on his hard slider with 3 to 4 inches of negative movement. This is insane. This is unheard of. This is the best hard slider we have seen in a decade.
It was 2019 velocity with 2020 movement.
Yeah,
that's what it was. Insane.
Can we add in that he was also throwing 100 mile an hour fastball on top of that?
100.4, I believe, is what he maxed out at, Brad.
I'm curious, and I know we'll never know how hard Tyler Glasnow would have thrown his first fastball if he got a chance to come in that game, knowing that he might only be facing three batters.
Yeah, somebody might had a ridiculous idea that Glasnow should have came in after Anderson. I don't know.
Well, I think a lot of us were rooting for it, but credit to Pete Fairbanks for locking it down after allowing.
That was me, by the
runs.
Way, for anybody listening.
But and this is the thing, though, right? With this is another cash choice. Like, he had Glasnow up, he had him ready. Glasnow is a little different of starters because he was a reliever with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, maybe a lot because Pittsburgh Pirates have some really bad pitching process over there. but he had that experience of getting up and down and up and down and doing that thing. So I think he would have been of all the guys, like, I think you trust him as a reliever really well in that situation. However, I think in the debate, Pete Fairbanks, as much as he can be stressful, he has the maybe some of the best stuff in that bullpen. You know, you have Anderson, you have Diego, you have Alvarado, but definitely don't want to use him in this one. And you have Fairbanks and you have Glasnow, all available. Of those guys, you want to trust a guy like Pete Fairbanks, who's rested, ready, and has got two pitches that are unbelievably unfair to anybody seeing him for like the first time. And that's what they did. That's what Cash did, was he wasn't going to let Anderson or Fairbanks see anybody, or have the Astros, I should say, see them for a second time. Now, Anderson gave you one guy for the second time, but that was it. And then Pete Fairbanks came in, little shaky, you know, the walk, but he gave up. That's the big key, right, with Correa. That was the potential tying run right there. And he gave up a decent, okay hit, not a super sharp hit, but against the shift, went the other way, got two runs, then Bregman, absolute toast.
Anderson did only face nine batters.
Real quick. I want to say thank you to Carlos Correa for beating the shift, and I'm using air quotes there, because it was because of him beating the shift that he handed the bat to the next person, right? To where if he does his usual thing where he swings hard, maybe it's a home run and it's a tie game, or maybe within one run. I'm not remember what the base out situation was, but because he beat, and this is how I frame not banning the shift, is because when a hitter tries to beat the shift and you get him out of his normal approach, you win. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Correa beat the shift, again with my air quotes, thank you. Thank you, Carlos Correa, for that.
Unless you're Brandon Lau and you're just dropping a bunt against the shift.
Right. That was
Let's talk about that for a second. Somebody else.
Awesome.
We love bunting for hits. If you, whatever it takes to get on base, get on base. That's what we want. And we don't like sacrifice bunts like Martin Maldonado did last night. It ended up working out in that situation. But Brandon Lau, seeing that, thinking that he could get the bunt down, push it down the third base line and get to first base, that was awesome.
Yeah, and it proves it doesn't have to even be a good bunt. It was a pop-up bunt, and just no one's there, so it's a single. It almost turns into a double.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, especially leading off an inning where getting on base matters a whole lot. It's a play I am definitely okay with.
And I think it was unexpected as well. Like, none of us were even thinking about it. And all of a sudden popped up the bump, but he got it down and got on base. And that was probably
one of my favorite moments.
Yeah, I'm not sure Kevin Cash has called a bunt in his Rays career.
Yeah.
It probably was really hard to do in that moment, too. Yeah, going back to Charlie Morton real quick, before we can kind of – everyone can give their final thoughts and let all the emotions spill out. But I think we all want to see Charlie Morton go nine innings and cruise through the Astros and take home – you know, have a complete game in game seven of the ALCS. I'm sure Charlie Morton wanted to see that. I'm sure Kevin Cash wanted to see that. Kyle Snyder, Mike Zunino, the rest of the Rays team. But at the end of the day, what they want more than that is they want to win the game. And I might be misquoting Mike Zunino slightly here, so just don't take my word for it. But I think he said that when Cash came out to pull Morton, Morton pretty much kind of thanked him for taking him out and putting someone else into that situation. Not because Morton didn't think he could get it done, but he knew that the bullpen, that's what their role was, to get out of situations like this, no matter the inning, no matter what his pitch count was, no matter what the score was. And that's exactly what they did. And that was awesome.
And we saw, and we talked about this earlier, but we saw Charlie Morton give Nick Anderson a hug after Nick Anderson got out of that inning. When he was pulled, and I just thought that was a great sign of how this team is just buys all in to the process.
Well, and I think there's a lot to be said for pitchers who want to be out there. It's like, yeah, cool, awesome. But like, it also is really nice to have a pitcher who gets taken out and is like, all right, I trust this dude 100% to get this job done. And there's no doubt whatsoever. That can only help the mindset of the pitcher entering the game at that time too.
Great point, Jim. Wow, the Rays are going to the World Series. Have I said that yet?
Woo!
I mean,
I would like to point out the Rays just tweeted a team photo and said the most aesthetically pleasing team you ever did see.
Let's go.
You'll love to see it.
Posse.
You'll love to see it. Shall we go around the Zoom and anyone wishing to share their final thoughts on this game and this series and this season up to this point? Who's going to start us off?
Brad, go ahead. Brad, what are your thoughts on this win?
Boy. Well, are we going to see the Dodgers or are we going to see the Braves? Right?
Who cares?
It doesn't, right? Who effing cares? We're going to the World Series for the first time in 12 years and it's going to be effing amazing. And this time we're going to win it.
All right. Matt Rayburn.
This gave me supreme confidence in Cash. Even Fairbanks coming up, I felt a little scared for a second. I was with you. I was the one calling for possibly Glasnow. I was feeling some flashbacks from the Yankees game, all those balls, scared. But Cash had supreme confidence in Morton and Anderson and Fairbanks and his game plan and the Rays. All the players had supreme confidence in him. It just makes me feel so good going into the World Series. Can't believe we're going. My first postseason game ever was last year, game four against the Astros in the Trop, and it was incredible. I can't believe we just beat the freaking Astros, and we're on our way to the World Series. I'm so excited.
Brian Menendez.
Oh, man. I went to game two in 2008, the only game that the Rays won. David Price got the save in that game. I'm not sure what other weird stuff is going to happen in this World Series. But I'm hoping this time we come away with the W and we can fly that banner. And what's his name? Craig Calcaterra can.
Okay.
You know what?
All right.
Call him out.
Brett Phillips dive bombing into our Zoom here. Brett, what's your takeaways?
Better late than never, baby. Yeah, I went to game one of the 2008 World Series where the Rays did end up losing, and I might be making my way to Dallas in a couple days. Who knows? I am pretty close. I live in New Orleans right now, so I might be making the 10 to 12-hour drive with a couple of friends, so we'll see. I mean, if this game doesn't cement Randy Arozarena in the pantheon of postseason performers, I don't know what will. I don't know what y'all talked about on the. I was driving home. I wasn't driving home. I should make that clear. I was driven home. I was so
after
excited.
The last podcast you were on, Brett. That does need to be.
Yeah, after the last podcast, I had to put some self-imposed limits on what I was and was not allowed to do. But yeah, just to see Randy Arozarena continue his success was one of the most satisfying parts of this whole series.
Hey Brett, really quick, can you flip your camera and show us what store you're in?
Yeah, I've been in a store in New Orleans for, I want to say, 4 months now. I've been surviving mostly on whiskey and pork rinds. So if you guys want to send something my way, feel free.
That's not normal. Mr. Lizzie.
Mostly, I think the baseball world owes us a huge thanks, because as the Rays were accepting their award and giving their little speeches, I was like, imagine this were the Astros. And they would, first of all, just the idea that they would be there, and then their sense of aggrievement, and that they're the ones who were wronged. It would be the worst 15 minutes that MLB could ever have imagined. So, so to the baseball world, I say you're welcome, and
100% welcome
to the bandwagon.
Definitely love it,
JT Morgan.
This game felt so much like the Game 5 against the Yankees. Kevin Cash saves his pitching for when he needs it, but when he needs it, he will manage very aggressively and go for that win. And today went better than the script, because I don't think they would have expected 5.2 and then having a choice of, do we keep Morton in or not? They would have accepted 4 or 5 innings with a 3-run lead at that time and handing it to the back of the bullpen and only needing 2 more guys to get through it. This was one of the scripts, because not everyone's going to go cleanly, but this is the way the Rays win baseball games.
100%. This was the 90%, right?
Yep.
All right, Jared Ward.
You know, I welcome everybody to the Rays bandwagon, and I'm just, this was a classic Rays game. We understood why Cash was making those decisions, and trust the process, really. And the process worked out, and it was a classic Rays game, and I loved it. And we're going to the World Series.
Darby Robinson.
This is just an amazing moment, and I said it earlier, I'm just so freaking proud and happy about this team getting to continue, getting to make a legacy for themselves, right? We still remember the 08 run and the players that got us there. We still have those memories, but this is the time right now for new fans of the Rays, for old fans of the Rays, to create those legends. You know, that's what October baseball is about. That's what it's all about. And so all of those moments, Aki stepping on second and jumping up into the air. Now we have like Margot catching the last out in or jumping over the wall, you know, to make one of the best catches in the series. You have Zunino like rising up. You have Randy Arozarena becoming a legend, beating Evan Longoria's 08 rookie home run record. This is such an amazing moment for these guys, because they're about to just add to that legacy. Every moment has been a part of that legacy. They've done so much, and I'm excited to see what more they get to do and how we remember them.
Jim Turvey.
So before the game, I was getting annoyed with TBS, shockingly, but they kept saying that the Astros were going for history, but that wasn't actually true, because a team has come from behind 3-0 before. What no one team has ever done before is blow a 3-0 lead and then win game 7. So one team did make history tonight. It was the Rays. I think that's low key. Like, I know we were confident in the Slack today, but like blowing a 3-0 lead and then winning game 7, I think is going to be something that's looked at as for decades and decades to come as one of the most impressive things that a team can pull off. And Rays did it. It's awesome.
Y'all might have been confident in the Slack. I was panicking. I've been panicking for the past 4 days.
Jamal Wilburg.
You know, the Rays are such an organization that's so analytically based, but there's so many emotions that feel good about this year, starting with the Yankees and payback from the cat from the fastball at Brasseau's head, Brasseau hitting it out, then beating the Astros here and getting back from last year. And I remember 2008 being at game 2, like Brian, and all those hours into the morning. There's something else that I remember. I remember 2010 and I remember 2011 being in the trop, watching the Texas Rangers spill champagne, beer, and ginger ale all over the trop as they celebrated ending the Rays season. And now the World Series is in their brand new ballpark. And there would be nothing better than to watch beverages get spilled over their brand new house and christen it. So let's go, Rays.
That was beautiful. That was so beautiful.
Ian Malinowski.
World Series on its own is a hollow, meaningless symbol. What gives it meaning is the fact that it's the gatekeeper to history, the gatekeeper to legacy. People who have been with this team, who have watched the regular season for 162 games or 60 games, every year you come away with something of value in that team that you know and that you think should be remembered. And the cold hard truth is that if you don't win the World Series, if you don't get there, if you don't do something in the playoffs, that thing that was a thing of value does not get remembered. Honestly, I can't remember a lot of the great things that happened in 2009. I can barely remember 2010, which was a very excellent year. These Rays teams, as Darby said, you get to this point, you have the chance to write the legacy for the things that have already happened. There is value on this team already. Some people haven't seen it. Some people are going to see it. Lots of people will end up remembering it because of the trip to the World Series.
Ian, I think you nail it there. And I'm reminded of something that Brett Rutherford said either one or two podcasts ago. And it was a passing comment that struck horror and fear in me. And it was, Brett, when you said that, man, if the Rays win this series, Randy or Rosarena will be remembered. And I thought, they have to win. People need to remember Randy. People need to remember this moment. They need to remember the accomplishments of this team. Because Ian, just as you are saying, 2009? Where did you go? One of the best race teams of all times doesn't even make the playoffs because the Red Sox and Yankees go off. 2010? What about those wild card teams who do nothing? Then you go into the mired Matt Silverman era. Eric Neander pulls the Rays up from obscurity into competitiveness. The front office gets pillaged by Vikings looking to stack their own front offices. And the players that are on the team today finally accomplish the thing that has eluded this franchise. Via the Astros methods or not last year, that mystery can remain an open question mark. But it is the time and place for legacy. It is a time and place for me to buy way too much Rays gear that I don't need, that has World Series written on it. This is the moment. And what better year than a crazy pandemic ridden empty ballpark where everyone is stuck on their couches, glued to their televisions. Welcome to Tampa Bay Rays baseball. We are going to make you watch defense. We are going to make you watch very strange pitching performances. We are going to make you watch a manager who makes aggressive moves and gives two craps about what you think about it. It does not matter. To Mr. Lizzie's point, where in the 20th century, there were 13 pitchers ever who had a shutout going and were lifted in less than six innings. And most of those were injury related. This is just Tampa Bay Rays baseball. It's what we do. And we're going to freaking win.
Does that leave me?
Please win the World Series with a pitcher on first base? Can I just throw that out there?
I'd love it. I've said it a couple times. Like 2008, last time they were here, I was 9 years old. Was at the game against the Twins where they clinched. Was at game one of the DS, game one of the CS. And I don't remember like every single pitch. I was 9 years old. But never would I have imagined that 12 years later, I would be making content about their next trip to the World Series and doing this podcast. And we've been doing it every night. Danny and I have been on, and almost every single one of you guys have been guests. I know when Jared was on, we were up until 2 a.m. almost doing that one. It's 1 a.m. Eastern now. So thank you guys for being on. But what a ride this has been. And I just want to thank you guys for welcoming me into this community, giving me a chance to do this podcast, and thank you guys for being a huge part of it. And these instant reaction podcasts, it's been a grind. It's been a nightly thing. And I'm really glad we get to do at least four more. So the Rays are going to the World Series, and let's have as much fun as possible, guys.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it, baby.
I think that's going to do it for tonight's episode of the D-Rays Bay Playoff Podcast Series. Probably, or not probably, definitely our longest instant reaction podcast. So thank you guys all for hopping on. Thank you to everyone for listening. If you want all of these episodes downloaded directly to your device, make sure to subscribe to our podcast feed. And make sure to head on over to draysbay.com to check out all of the great coverage from these amazing people on the podcast tonight from this 2020 postseason run. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you after game one of the World Series.
I hear they have good barbecue in Arlington. Thank you.